Next on TechStack, we're diving into how high-speed networking and interconnect is undergoing a dramatic transformation with the arrival of optical technology and the company who is leading that charge. Buckle up, because this is going to be an interesting inside look at Lumentum. Hello, everyone. This is Mark Bina with Smart Tech Research. I'm here with my partner in crime, Dave Villa, with Hot Tech. And I'm here with a good friend, Michael Hurlston, who is the CEO and president of Lumentum. This is going to be a fun podcast, fun episode recording. We love to do this kind of stuff because, you know, there are tech companies that we work and cover that there are great legacy companies that have been around a long time. They've got interesting technology going forward. I think I can safely say that Lumentum is a forward-looking company, you know, just given what the transformation in interconnect technology is going on. And Dave, we'd love to get your perspective on what we like to get out of this podcast with Michael.
Absolutely. Michael, great to meet you today. I think this is the first time we've actually spoken directly. So a pleasure to meet you. And yes, looking forward to hearing a little bit about what Lumentum is doing these days and the ever-changing world of high-speed networking and interconnect, which, you know, these days we're we're starving for more and more bandwidth. So I'm hoping your company is helping to bring solutions in that space. I think they are, right?
That's absolutely right. So first, Dave, wonderful to meet you. And Mark, I mean, I can't say enough about our history together. So it's just super to have this opportunity to chat on something different than touch products. So we're now going to talk a little bit about optical networking. Look, it's really been interesting, right? Optics historically has been the backbone of the telecom industry, right? If you think about your internet, there was a time where it was coming through cable, it was coming through DSL, but then fiber started taking over. And of course, fiber was the thing that was sort of linking all of these nodes together. The revolution that's happened in fiber optics has been the application inside the data center. So it's gone from a relatively, I don't want to use the word sleepy, but that might be the proper term, relatively sleepy industry to one that is in absolutely the center of this AI revolution. So it's a super exciting time to be in optics. Optics again, I was in optics in my first CEO job back in 2018. It's great to be back and see what this industry has become.
Yeah, so Michael, my first question to you, since we do have a common background, we should disclose the fact that I worked at Synaptics prior to your arrival, and you know you have significant CEO stripe experience. Would love to get your perspective on, before we get into the kind of the minutia of Lumentum's value proposition, the optical category, all the stuff we're going to chat about. Would love to get your perspective on the differences at a high level, because you've been there now since February, I think. You got hired in February. So you've been there, you know where the men's rooms are. You've been there for 9 months. And the question I have for you is that every company has challenges, opportunities and challenges. You know, you did a great job at Synaptics. You really helped kind of pivot the company around. And I say that very openly. And you left the place in pretty good shape, which I think is always nice. But Lumentum is a different vegetable, so to speak. So give me a perspective on, you know, your CEO journey that was at Synaptics, your prior experience before you joined Synaptics, and very, very quickly, your impressions about Lumentum, just from a corporate characterization standpoint.
Yeah, Mark, thanks for the question. Look, this is a much different play than was Synaptics. You and I were involved largely in fabless semiconductor design. And so the manufacturing was outsourced. The number one difference here is the manufacturing is all insourced. Mm. So we have two sides of our business. One looks a lot like you and I worked on at Synaptics, a semiconductor business where we actually fabricate and make semiconductor devices. These semiconductors are different. Compound semiconductors. So it's not using silicon, CMOS terminology that we know so very well. it's using something called indium phosphide. And indium phosphide is the base material for lasers. And if you think about fiber optics, at the end of the day, it boils down to lasers because you're actually transmitting light down a fiber optic pipe. So the lasers is one side of our business where we're fabricating those. The other side, we actually put together with screws and plastics and glues a bunch of finished systems products that also go into the data center, but look more like an iPhone. They're actual products, widgets that come with software, that come with firmware, that sell into the data center. And so now the manufacturing of these goods, whether it be lasers and semiconductor fab type operation or factories where we're actually putting these things together, is a huge difference to what we faced at Synaptics. And the challenges of running factories, right, and the challenges of running fabs are immense, right? Things go wrong, things happen. And now your deliveries, rather than depending on a machine like TSMC that outputs things like clockwork, you're now in control. And guess what? Bad things happen. And that's the thing that's been the biggest learning for me, Mark, over the first 9 months.
Wow.
Dave?
Yeah, no, I mean, that is a very different model for sure. Let's talk a little bit about Lumentum's heritage and I guess where you've come from as a company from a technology, a base technology standpoint, and then moving forward, into this, new AI data center powers everything reality we seem to be in right now. How does that play out? And I guess, your roots to today.
Yeah, Dave, super question, right? As I said a minute ago, there's this whole heritage of supplying the telecom backbone. So it's almost a bad word, but Lumentum came from JDS Uniphase, which in the internet bubble was one of the poster children for having run up very significantly and then obviously run down equally as fast. The heritage of the company is JDS Uniphase. And JDS Uniphase was the company that installed all this fiber backbone for the internet back in the 2000s and into the internet bubble. What we were supplying were things like wavelength selectable switches. They were really the backbone of fiber optics. Another thing that we do really, really well is undersea cables. So if you want to connect a connection between Asia and the United States, and believe it or not, there's cables that run under the ocean and they're fiber optic cables. And then there's pumps that actually juice up the signal. Those pump lasers are products that come from us. So the history of the company is very much driven around that telecom industry and around supplying the backbone for the internet. What's happened, Dave, in the last probably 2 years, but really accelerated this year, is our customer base has changed from AT&T, Verizon, and equipment suppliers that might supply into those telecom guys to Google, Meta, Microsoft. The hyperscalers not only are driving optics inside the data center, but now are actually fundamentally interested with data center interconnect in a concept we call scale across, meaning these models are so big and so complex, they actually take multiple data centers to run. Our telecom equipment now is being sold into that scale across application, so being reapplied to connect data centers to one another. And then we've re-geared our product roadmap to really go after this opportunity inside the data center, where data centers are changing from electrical interconnect, copper, to fiber and fiber optics. And that's driven by the bandwidth and speed that's required. You guys know the physics better than I, but when you're talking about this huge amount of bandwidth that's being required inside the data center at the speeds at which it's required, it makes sense that you have to go to something like light as the communications backbone.
Wow. Yeah, it's great to have the solution to the problem and the market come to you, right? That's a beautiful position to be in.
And that's right. I mean, it's an interesting concept that you put out there, but that's exactly what happened, right? We've always been a player in this, but the market really came to where our technology is. Sure, we've developed new technology that's very specifically geared to the data center, but the underpinning technology came way back from the roots in supplying the telecom industry and supplying the internet backbone.
Fascinating stuff.
And what's really fascinating about this, Michael, is that if you look at this at 30,000 feet, you know, just to kind of frame the performance advantage from a speed standpoint, there's also heat advantages with optic technology. There's energy efficiency advantages with optical technology. It's kind of like going, it's going to date me, you know, going from an analog 56K modem, you know, to fiber, you know, and that probably doesn't even frame it, frankly, accurately in terms of that transition. And to your point, you know, it really, you know, the major tailwind that you're getting is the growth in data centers. You know, I mean, who saw this? You know, it's been going, we're in the very early innings of this, maybe what, 3 years, 4 years, frankly, you know. So give us a flavor, though, in terms, again, I just want to get back to Lumentum as a company, the culture there. Again, there's dissimilarities, for sure, with Synaptics, but there's always you know things that for a new incoming CEO that you look for. Execution is big time. You know, companies that you know partner with you, they're investing huge amounts of money because there are conversion costs and things like that, which makes even though the technology is terrific, you know, there is a cost involved in this, and the costs are coming down. But in the 9 months you've been there, talk a little bit about the culture, what you've been, what you see that really excites you about it, because that's to me a big deal. And we'd just love to get your kind of perspective on the company itself.
I mean, it's interesting. I would say, Mark, and you were really part of the journey at Synaptics, even when I came in. The model has not been altogether different. You have great people here, people that are steeped in optical knowledge. And these are very special people, special engineering talent. Not everybody is an optics engineer. There are vastly more semiconductor engineers in the Valley than there are optical engineers, vastly more, right? And so for us to build a company on optics has been no mean feat, but the technologists that are here are brilliant, right? I think that what happened for a long period of time was because of the market, nothing to do with the company itself or the people in the company, the stock price was relatively depressed. And so the atmosphere inside the four walls may have been, hey, look, we're technically great. Why aren't we kind of seeing the results? And not dissimilar to Synaptics, we were part of that journey. We took the stock price from 30 to 300. We really ran the stock price up. And that got people believing, right? They saw motion in the stock price. They saw
reaction. I remember that.
and this is not dissimilar here, right? We've been able to put points on the board in a very short period of time, right? Take the stock from 70 to 250, 260, 270, I don't know what it is today, in a very short period of time. And that's really got people like to be on winning teams. I mean, do you want to play for the New York Jets? I mean, I know you're a New Yorker, so I need to be careful. But do you want to play for the New England Patriots under Tom Brady? People like to be on winning teams.
This guy, and, he's great.
There you go. See, Dave, are you a New England fan?
Just a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, just a tad. Just a tad.
Well, you know, he's a good local kid, so we have some pride for him here in the Bay Area. But
absolutely.
People want to be on winning teams, and I think that we've created a little bit of momentum inside the company and unlocked that technical capability and got people more excited about it. And look, we're super well positioned. Really well positioned to take advantage of this change inside the data center, moving from electrical connectivity that we know so very well to optical connectivity.
And let's, and actually, now that you got back to the technology itself again, and I'm a total gearhead at heart, let's talk a little bit about your product offering. It seems like, you know, certainly high speed transceivers and optics for high bandwidth interconnect at the rack, it's a natural, right? You know, to feed the beast, to keep GPU clusters, you know, fully utilized, etc. What about switching and optical switches specifically, and some of their inherent benefits over traditional network switches that we've, you know, come to know and love for so long now, and, you know, so many manufacturers make? You guys are making a play in that spot, and are there any specific advantages beyond obviously the bandwidth advantage?
Yeah, Dave. I mean, there's a couple of things. You know, number one, you are dealing with a total cost of ownership. The cost of ownership, when you take an optical switch and you add, because you're still going to need optical transceivers, you could have far fewer if you deploy an optical switch than if you have an electrical switch. And then the other obvious one is power. Now you're dealing with something that, in our case, is just using a MEMS mirror. It's just using mirrors to reflect light. And that gives us a big performance advantage because mirrors are effectively lossless. So our performance is really considered by the market to be first rate. But the power and cost advantages have people thinking about applications where there'd be a traditional electrical switch and replacing that with an optical switch. But there are other opportunities. You know, you guys are so familiar with the technology. When you're taking a rack and you're connecting multiple racks in a cluster, that we typically refer to in the industry as scale up. You're trying to scale up your performance by connecting multiple CPUs, TPUs, GPUs inside a single rack. A very simple way to do that is actually optics. So it's a whole new on optical switches. It's a whole new application, not that you'd think of in a traditional data center architecture where you're now trying in the AI world, trying to lump multiple TPUs, GPUs, CPUs together inside a cluster. That optical circuit switch can serve that, and it creates a new opportunity that's actually equal to or greater than the opportunity where you're replacing a traditional spine switch inside the data center, which is where also where optical switches go. Technically, and I know you guys understand this, an optical switch is not packet-based. So if you think about switches from Arista or Celestica, the big switch, they're packet-based. Packet by packet, I can switch. This is only traffic-based. I'm going to switch traffic from one port, one channel to another. And so it won't apply everywhere inside a data center. Every switch, you have a top of rack switch. You typically have leaf switches, and then you have spine switches. Spine switches are typically more traffic based than they are packet based. And so those are easy targets for us to replace. But again, an equal to or you know, bigger than opportunity is connecting using a switch to connect multiple racks together inside a cluster. And that, again, is traffic-based, not packet-based.
Great distinction. Thank you for that. That is absolutely something I was trying to digest a little bit myself, but that makes perfect sense. Absolutely.
Michael, question for you from a business standpoint. You know, you came from, you know, just your recent tenure at Synaptics. Synaptics was a typical design win company. You know, in my days, you'd win a notebook project, let's say at HP for a particular model for a particular touchpad. And, you know, that touchpad might be in the market for, a year, that laptop. But it was, whether it was smartphones or IoT devices, which Synaptics has really made a lot of headway in. It's different, though, from the go-to-market approach on Lumentum in that, because you're dealing with data centers, you know, and give us some flavor, some inside baseball in terms of the typical engagement with a customer for a data center again, it's not a transactional type of thing where someone comes in and says, hey, by the way, we want to design or a data center. We had a data center win and we're going to install stuff next week. That's not the way it works. I'm sure it's very lengthy from an engagement standpoint. These data centers, you know, stay because very often these data centers are engagements in different city, different, not cities, but the different localities where the local infrastructure needs to be upgraded to provide the power capability for it. So it's a very long-term engagement. Just give us a little bit of characterization from a go-to-market standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There's let me kind of frame it to you more differently, Mark. That's probably more interesting. So we have to predict, because we're manufacturing stuff, we have to predict so far ahead of when this demand is going to come and sort of anticipate the demand signal so far ahead of when it actually hits. We have to deploy capital equipment in the fabs. We have to deploy capital equipment in our factories. And we have to guess at what the demand is going to look like probably 3 years from now. So we're deploying, if you look at the lead time on CapEx, you look at the lead time in some cases on clean room, right? We have to deploy extra space that has clean room requirements. If you look at all of that and you sum it up, it's really almost a 3-year lead time. So to your question, then, if you look at sort of when customers are placing orders on us to when we deliver, there are instances where you're talking about a year of lead time. You're talking about, we had, and you're aware of this, in the semiconductor business during the crisis of COVID, we had 52-week lead times. This is 52-week lead times sort of on a normal course, just given the amount of time it takes us to make this stuff. And so, you know, we have to be well ahead of demand. Now, to give you a perspective, because it's relevant here talking to you today, when I came in the company, as you correctly said, it was February. So it was our December quarter. Now, I've only been here 3 quarters, but we have the perspective of how the revenue has evolved really over a 4-quarter period. The reported quarter that I came in on, which was the December quarter a year ago, we were at $350, $360 million of revenue for that quarter. Our guide into this quarter is $650 million. It's almost 2x in a year.
Wow. Yes.
And the demand that we're seeing is just incredible, right? We are gated, and your question is really hitting that point, by our ability to make the stuff, our lead time, our ability to crank the stuff out. If we could do it, our revenue would be considerably, considerably higher. We just simply can't manufacture and could not have guessed, right, how quickly this demand signal has changed. Yeah. And it's been very, very, it's been a huge problem. It's been a pain point for the customers because they're like, sure, hey, you need a lot more than you can deliver.
Mm. Right. Your operations team must be, they must be a really fun group to work with. Dave, let me flip it over to you for another question for Michael.
Well, no, I mean, that's fascinating insight, Michael. Actually, I was speaking with the CFO of NVIDIA after their earnings call yesterday, and that was one of the questions I had for her, is how they manage supply chain resilience and actually being able to execute in production with these massive installations. And her sentiments were similar to yours. It was, hey, we know our forecast better than anybody. You know, we have to plan this way. But to actually see the demand coming the way it did from a, you know, an AI explosion standpoint that we've had in the market, it is just, it's unprecedented. So, but moving forward, that's the way you have to manage your business. You have to, you have to be way ahead of the curve, and planning that. So it's very insightful stuff. Moving back a little bit to the product side of it, let's talk about what you see as the next wave of photonics applications. Maybe it's different industries. You know, talk about maybe automotive, with LiDAR, 3D sensing, industrial lasers, anything like that beyond, I guess, certainly in addition to the data center, but complementary and adjacent to it.
I mean, let me just give you, you know, we've talked about this optical circuit switch. Let me give you another real-time example. And I apologize, David, it is a data center example.
Oh, that's wonderful.
the big thing that's happening again because of power. So you guys know this architecture real well, but just for the listeners, the state of the art today in a data center is what we call a pluggable optic. Mm-hmm. It looks like almost like a USB drive. You plug it into a switch or a server, and that transceiver, the technical term for it is a transceiver, that little pluggable optic, is converting electrical signal to light. Okay. And so every time that conversion happens, there's power. And now the single biggest issue inside a data center is power, because the grid simply can't support the tax that these data centers are putting on them and are forecasted to put on them. So everybody is looking for ways to save power. One of the interesting phenomena now has been what we call co-packaged optics, which essentially eliminates that transceiver and moves the optical engine right up next to the switch or the server. So you no longer have this pluggable. You actually have down on the motherboard, you have an optical engine. The knock on that has always been the reliability. Lasers have a bad reputation in terms of reliability. So the concern has always been, geez, if we do that, now we have to throw away a whole motherboard. We understand the virtue, the power savings, but we got to throw away a whole motherboard. The evolution that's come is we've applied, go back to our previous conversation, the subsea lasers that actually go in the Mariana Trench and support connectivity. I mean, can you imagine these guys having to pull out a laser from the Mariana Trench? It's a problem, right? It's an issue. Yeah. And so we've taken that tech and we've applied it to this problem. And now you have basically a system, a very reliable system, where you can eliminate that transceiver and put your optical engine right next to the switch, the server chip, the GPU, whatever it is. This is a big revolution that's coming. It takes the optics industry that was measured in the thousands in the telecom era we started the conversation with, to the hundreds of thousands, which is how we measure these transceivers today, to millions. I mean, it looks like the semiconductor business that Mark and I knew at Synaptix, with vastly different ASPs than
we knew.
So it's a huge thing, Dave, where you start talking about the revolution of co-packaged optics. The holy grail is now inside the rack itself, being able to replace all that copper with some form of optical engine. So we already see this co-packaged optics coming and replacing connections from the switch, even a top of rack switch, to the rack. But what we really can foresee is a huge wave of optical interconnect inside the rack itself. We call it, again, call this scale up. That is measured in not tens of millions, but hundreds of millions of units that will fundamentally transform this industry, right? From an industry that's used to get scales of thousands to now scales of tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions. And you know, you asked at the outset, what's the biggest challenge? The biggest challenge for us right now is scale. How do we meet this demand and figure out how we change our fabs, how we change our factories from thousands to millions to tens of millions to even hundreds of millions? That is a huge challenge. And we're having to do that now in anticipation of the revolution that's coming in 2 or 3 years.
Wow. What an opportunity. What a wonderful opportunity and problem to try and solve. We've heard certainly from all the major, literally all the bigger semiconductor players are talking about co-package optics, from NVIDIA to Intel, you name it. And so, that is just an explosive inflection point. When do you think, and then I'll shut up, Mark, I just have to dig one more time on this. do you think what's the shelf life, I guess, maybe put it that way, that you see for copper? Do you have a vision on that? Or do you see a world where copper completely goes away?
Yeah.
Yeah, great question, Dave. I mean, I don't know that copper ever entirely goes away, right? I mean, it's cheaper, right? It's obviously much more ubiquitous than is optics. Optics is always legacy. More expensive. Legacy, all the things, Mark. Yeah. You and I know. We've been through so many technical transitions. All of us, all three of us on the call, we've said it always takes longer than you forecast. But I would say this about co-packaged optics, which has been a thing for a long time. It's been discussed for years and years and years. Even when I was back at Broadcom, we talked a lot about co-packaged optics. Now it's happening. We're actually shipping our lasers into co-packaged optics opportunities today. We would expect a significant step up in 2026, probably the second half of 2026, but a real significant step up. And then a massive shift in 2027 toward that first CPO opportunity. For scale up, I think it's later, right? Optical scale up inside the rack and replacing a lot of the copper backplane. But we can see a world now where that starts again in 2027, really starts gaining momentum in 2028. And is a very, very significant portion of shipments in 2029. So there's a really interesting road in front of us as the world is shifting because of bandwidth, because of speed, it's shifting from electrical connectivity more and more to optical connectivity.
Awesome.
So Michael, yeah, we're kind of wrapping up against time here. Let me give you, a minute just to kind of wrap up. What do you want the world to take away from Momentum?
Yeah, look, optics, it has been a very sleepy industry. It is now really in the center of what we see. It's a super, super exciting time to be in optics. I got very lucky. Honestly, the previous regime, Alan Lowe was the CEO here before I got here, and he's a wonderful friend. He set things up that we could take advantage of. And it is really, really well set up. We have so many growth drivers in the company. Our laser business is doing very, very well. Our optical circuit switch, we're super optimistic about that switch now taking meaningful share in the data center. And then the third thing we just spent time on, co-packaged optics, that we see hitting. And then further out, optical scale up, right? So all of these things are huge tailwinds in the optics industry in general, and specifically at Lumentum.
Right. Well, Michael, thanks again for joining for today's Tech Stack discussion. Folks, we're so gratified that our podcast has eclipsed 12,000 subscribers, actually more than 12,000 in just a few months. So please like and repost this episode if you like the content. We absolutely love your comments, so feel free to opine. And use the following QR codes that you're about to see to like and subscribe. And until next time, have a great weekend.